We thank you, Lord. The Lord has been good to us, hasn't he? I mean, day by day, we magnify him. Hallelujah. Day by day, here a little and there a little. You know, the Lord is increasing us in his knowledge. He's increasing us in victory. He's helping us to expand our horizon. He's helping us to build on our spiritual capacity, the capacity to receive more from the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to be limited. You know, we got to bring, you know, more vessels. Bring your vessels, not a few. Keep bringing more. He will fill it. He said, open your mouth, what? And I will fill it. He will fill it. The more we hunger and thirst after him, the more he will fill us with his righteousness. Glory to God. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Glory to God. They shall be filled. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Oh, let us hunger. Let my soul yearn after the Lord. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord, even in the land of the living. On a day such as this, in the womb of the morning, glory to God, let's enter into the beauties of holiness and let him command upon us the dew of youth. Make me willing, O God, even in the day of thy power. Let me not be weary, glory to God. Let me not be weary. Hallelujah. For he giveth power to the faint and strength to the weary. Thank you, Jesus. Strengthen, O God, anyone that is weary on here this morning. And those who are not here because they are weary, strengthen them as well. Father, O God, this morning we lift up the hands that are hanging down. And let the strength of God confirm the feeble knees even this morning. In the name of Jesus, our God is a God of strength. We call him the strength of Zion. Glory to God. He's my strength. He's my salvation. He's my rock. He's my high tower. He's my refuge, my defense. Glory to God. And he's my salvation. And he's become even my song. Hallelujah. By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. Glory to God. Some trust in chariots and others in princes and things like that. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. Those that trust in those things, they are falling. Hallelujah. But we are upright. We stand in the name of the Lord. Stand ye therefore, the scripture says, you know, having done all things, stand. Must still stand. Glory to God. Stand in the power of the Lord. Having done all things, stand in the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for lifting us up this morning, for waking us up this morning. Those of us who are still in our early morning hours, others, they have advanced in the day. But nonetheless, we give our first fruits to you this morning. It is a good thing, Psalm 92, to give thanks unto the Lord, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. When we get up in the morning, to show forth his goodness, to show forth, I mean, his loving kindness. And you come back after he has seen you through the whole day, and then you show forth his faithfulness as well. Psalm 5. And verse 1 says, my voice, O Lord, shall thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Glory to God. So let's direct our prayers to him on this morning. Hallelujah. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Let him hear your voice this morning. Come on. You know, wherever you are, let him hear your voice. My voice, O Lord, shall thou hear this morning, and I will direct my prayer unto thee. Hallelujah. So let us direct our prayer unto him on this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I direct my prayer unto you this morning. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercies. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Glory to God. Let's run into it this morning for safety. Hallelujah. Let's run into it for safety. Glory to God. Call upon the name of the Lord. He said, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, well, thereby shall I be saved from my enemies. I will magnify the Lord and I will call upon his name. For the Lord is good and he will save me from destruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. He loadeth me also daily with all kinds of benefits, redeemeth my life from destruction, crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He also satisfied my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the youth. Good morning again, everyone. Today, the captain of the host of the Lord. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be sharing some scriptures around this. Not that you don't know it, but, you know, every way, every time that we hear the word of the Lord, there are some nuggets. Glory to God that he will give us. So today, we start right away. We take the our text from Joshua chapter 5. Glory to God. Welcome again, everyone. Share the room if you haven't already done that. Share it on Clubhouse. Share it to others. Invite people into the room. And we are going to get started right now. Praise God. The captain of the Lord's hosts. Hallelujah. Now that is a topic even by itself that should excite us. It should excite us because, one, it means that the Lord actually has a host. You know, so right away we see that the Lord has a host. Glory to God. A host. Hallelujah. And over that host, he has a captain. It is called the captain of the Lord's host. And he has some duties. And we're going to find out what his duties and responsibilities are, you know, and who he's accountable to as well. Glory to God. You know, so today we take our story from Joshua chapter 5. Hallelujah. You know, that's where we are reading from this morning. The book of Joshua. And you know, this Joshua man, you know, he was somebody that had some fire in his bones, you know, and he was someone that did not want to settle for the status quo. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. His immediate response was, well, you know, if the Lord be with us, where be all those miracles that we have heard that our fathers told us? And why is it that we are languishing away here with the Midianites oppressing us? So he was not satisfied with the status quo. Well, that was Gideon. You know, that was Gideon that was not satisfied with the status quo. So, the Lord, he is with us wherever we go. Glory to God. So, let's take a look at Joshua. I meant to talk about Joshua, but I was talking about Gideon. But let's take a look at Joshua anyway. Joshua chapter 5, we're going to look at just two verses there. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. So, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, And behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? You know, this man Joshua, he was a man of war. You know, I mean, he took no prisoners. This Moses was a different kind of person, you know, but Joshua was a man of swords and spears and things like that. He would go in there and fight. He would destroy cities and various things, you know. So he saw somebody standing up there, you know, over against, you know, he looked around, he looked by, he saw this man with a drawn sword in his hand. So Joshua challenged him. He wants to know, are you for us or for our adversaries? If you are for our adversaries, well, we're going to put it to the fight right now. Or are you for us? And he said, no. Now take a notice to that answer. The answer that he said is no. Now he asked a question. It was two parts to the question. Are thou for us? That's part number one. Or for our adversaries? That's part number two. But the answer was no. He said, nay. That's I'm neither for you. No, I'm for your adversaries. But as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? So, you know, this captain of the Lord, so he has his own agenda. He's not, you know, even though he looks like he may be fighting for you, but he has his own agenda. You know, so Joshua wanted to know, are you on our side or are you on the side of our enemy? The man said, no, no. You know, I am come as a captain of the Lord's hosts. I have my own agenda and I have my own orders. Glory to God. So sometimes, you know, in our limited capacity and understanding, you know, we try to, you know, make the angel, you know, of the Lord into something else that he is. He has his own agenda, you know, always has his own agenda. Now he may fight for you, which we know he will fight for us, and we're going to read some of those scriptures. But his agenda is always about making the name of the Lord great and getting renown for the name of the Lord. That's always the agenda of the captain of the Lord's host. He's going at a command, and he's going to make the name of the Lord great. And he said, you know, I am come as a captain of the host. So Joshua fell down upon his face and worshipped. And he said, you know, what saith my Lord unto his servant? As soon as he told that to Joshua, Joshua just fell down and worshipped. You know, now remember, this captain of the Lord's host, he did not say, no, see thou do it not. You know, there was a story in Revelation 19. And in verse 10, when John wanted to fall down before the angel that was showing him all those things, that angel said, no, see thou do it not. Make sure you worship God instead, because I'm just like your brethren. I'm one of them. You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But this man, this captain of the Lord's host, when Joshua fell down to worship, didn't say anything like that, you know. And he said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place where thou on that standest is holy ground. Glory to God. Now we remember somebody that once said that. We remember another encounter that once said that. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, only one other place that we saw that encounter like that, where it was told that, you know, and that was Moses before the burning bush. And the voice that spoke to Moses said the same thing. Loose thy foot from off thy shoes. For the place where you are is holy ground. Now that's not some, you know, some ordinary angel. No. The Lord is the captain of his own hosts, ladies and gentlemen. He is the captain. He is the Lord. He's the commander in chief. I like to call him the seven star general. He said, I have the seven stars in my hands. He's the captain of his own host. You know, that's why Joshua could fall down and worship and he didn't correct him and or prevent him or rebuke him. And he also told him, take off the shoes because you are in holy ground. My goodness. Holy ground? Well, yeah, because the Lord is there. Whenever the Lord shows up, it's always holy ground. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about this captain of the Lord hosts. Now, the Lord has a lot of hosts. Jesus himself, you know, before Pilate and all those people those days, he said, look, don't you think that I can now presently, ask my Father and he will send me legions of angels to deliver me to fight if you think that's what I need? But I'm not here to do that. You know, so as a sheep, he went to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. Even against his shares, the scripture said, you know, but so we know he has legions that he can send and he has hosts that he can send. But who is the captain over those hosts? It is the Lord himself. Now, God has almighty angels. You know, a few of them are named in the Bible. You know, we see some names. We don't hear too many names, but we hear the name of Gabriel. Gabriel appears in momentous times, you know, to bring important messages. So we've seen him there. And Gabriel, one time, he even told Daniel, said, look, there is no one that holds with me in these things except Michael, your prince. So Michael was the prince of Israel. That's right. But we also have the prince of Persia, the prince of this and everything like that. Over the kingdoms of this world, there are some dark princes. If those kingdoms are dark kingdoms, then there are dark princes. And one of those dark princes prevented the prayer of Daniel, the answer to his prayer from getting through and so on, you know, in that story. But, you know, we also know that Michael is called the prince. He said, Michael, he is your prince. So we see the names of some of these angels. And sometimes, you know, the angels, when they appear, the angel of the Lord, especially when he appears, you know, they say, well, what is your name? And he say, why are you asking my name? Seeing that it is secret, you know, he doesn't need to tell you, you know, but people like to say, hey, let's be introduced, you know, let's be acquainted and let's know your name, you know. So even in Judges chapter 13, you know, there was the angel of the Lord that appeared to a woman. You know, this woman was eventually going to be, have a great child that would bring tremendous deliverance against the Philistines, you know, Samson. So this woman, who was the wife of Manoah, she was barren. She bare nothing. And in Judges chapter 13, the angel of the Lord in verse 3 appeared unto the woman and said to her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And then the angel gave her some instructions and so forth. So because her husband was not around, she narrated the story to Manoah. And then Manoah entreated the Lord in verse 6 and said, O Lord, my God, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come unto us again and teach us what we shall do unto the child when he is born. Angel of the Lord that appeared, the man didn't know. He thought it was just a man. But God hearkened unto his voice, and the angel of God came again unto the man as she was in the field. But her husband was not with her again. So the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, said, look, the man appeared again. He's here. You know, so, but the angel was patient. He just stood there. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man. I'm now reading from Judges chapter 13 and verse 11, you know, and said, are you the man that spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. That's what you need to say. Anytime that you hear the word of the Lord, just say, be it unto me, O Lord, according to thy word. Let thy words come to pass. verify, O Lord, that which you have spoken by your mouth, let it be verified by with your hand in my life as it is today. That's the prayer we should pray. Don't doubt, don't worry about it. Just believe God. So he said, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? What shall we do to him? They asked instruction. And the angel of the Lord said, look, everything I said to the woman, just do it that way and so forth. And he told her how to beware. This is also a good lesson. When people are pregnant, don't eat anything that's of the vine and so forth, strong drink and all that, or any unclean thing, as commanded her. And they all, the man said, look, I pray thee, let us detain thee and we'll make ready supper. Go get a kid. They call a little lamb or goat a kid. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For the man knew not that this was an angel of the Lord. And this one said, look, okay, what is your name? So that when your sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel said of the Lord, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing that it is secret? So a lot of things happened here. In fact, this man went, he took a meat offering, and did everything. He created a sacrifice and offered it on a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. There was a lot of time that this angel spent with them. He did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on, because it came to pass that during when the flame and the sacrifice was going up, and there is a lesson to be learned at this. When the flame was going up toward heaven from the altar that Manoah put together, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Glory to God. And he did some drama. And the man said, oh, my goodness. When he saw that the angel of the Lord disappeared, went up like that in the flame, then they knew it was an angel of the Lord. And the man said, we shall surely die because we have seen the Lord. Oh, man. But his wife said, don't worry about it. If the Lord wanted to kill us, we'll be dead already. But no, he showed us good things. We shall not die. So we see the various appearances of the angel of the Lord. Well, let's talk some more about when he comes, to bring deliverance and great, great, great miracles, in the land. Now, sometimes, when he does it, it could be an answer to our prayer that you're crying to the Lord. But remember, the captain of the Lord host, he said, no. When he said, are you for us or against us? His answer was no. I am the captain of the Lord's host. So I'm neither on this side nor that side. I have my own agenda. Now we are the ones that will be on the side of the Lord. Sometimes you say, well, the Lord's on my side. The Lord is with me. If the Lord be with me, that's good. And the Lord's okay with that. But in the real sense, when this captain of the host of the Lord appears, he's got his own agenda. And his agenda is to get renown for the name of the Lord. And if we know how to pray the prayer just right, then we can turn it around and make it a fight for the Lord. If we know how to do that, we can turn it around and make it a fight for the Lord. There are some few people in that Bible that knew how to do that. They knew how to make it God's fight. Hezekiah was a very great example. After Sennacherib, came and chided them and told them that they have destroyed all the kings of the nations and that Hezekiah will not save the people, neither the God of Hezekiah. And they were telling them to better turn over, and Hezekiah. And they just made mockery of them. So Hezekiah prayed. There are two versions of this story, but let me read the one in 2 Kings 19. You know, and we'll start at verse 10. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of, Assyria, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them. So have you not heard that? You know, and he said, shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? Even as Gozran and Haran and Rezeph, you know, and all the children of, you know, Eden that were in Telasa, did their gods save them? Where is the king of Hanak? Where is the king of Arpad? You know, where is the king of Sepharvaim? You know, where are they? You know, Ohana and Eva. And he just mentioned all the countries that they had destroyed. You see, and my goodness, he said, look, who is the Lord that he should deliver you? You know, we destroyed all these people and we'll destroy you as well. You know, so when Hezekiah would turn to the Lord and he would pray, you know, this is the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. He said, look, we know that of a truth, those people have they have destroyed those nations. They have destroyed those nations. You know, but because their gods were gods, no gods at all. They were works of men's hands. This is the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. Listen to it from verse 15. It said, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord and said, O Lord God of heaven, of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art thy God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Lord, bow thine ear and hear. Open thy eyes and see and hear the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Wow. When you put it like that, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they were destroyed. Now therefore, O Lord God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand. Why? See, this is a secret. When you make it about God's fight, it's more than just about yourself now. You know, Hezekiah could have prayed and said, Lord, save us out of his hand because we are in great distress, so that we will not be ashamed, so that we will not destroy our wives and our children, so that we not, you know, lay our cities in ruins and so on and so forth. I mean, there's all kinds of ways he could have prayed that prayer and it would still have been a good prayer. But this is how he prayed. Save us, O Lord, out of his hand, in order that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Hallelujah. Now, when you put it to God like that, you know, when you challenge God like that and make it about God's fight, the angel of the Lord, he will stand up on your behalf. And it might be the captain of the Lord's host that he will send. It might be the angel of the Lord that he will send. Whichever way, the Lord will stand up. Glory to God. You can read the same story in Isaiah 37. You know, when the same prayer, the same story and everything, you know, that he prayed. He said, they cast their gods into the fire. There were no gods and so forth. And he prayed, you know, and then the Lord spoke to Isaiah to give him comfortable words. And it came to pass. You can read the story that the angel of the Lord went and smote in the camp of those people in one night. 185,000 souls were destroyed in one night because Hezekiah knew how to make it God's fight. He knew that. You know, so anytime we can make it God's fight, God will stand up and fight for himself. Glory to God. You know, there are many other scriptures similar in the Bible that the angel of the Lord did wondrous things. We saw what he did, you know, at the Red Sea, Exodus 14, you know, from verse 13 through 18, and then about 24 through 25. You know, we saw what the angel of the Lord did, how he troubled, you know, the Egyptians, their chariots and everything, and how he discomfited their armies and destroyed them in the Red Sea. We saw what the angel of the Lord did in the case of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The whole chapter basically talks about that story. We saw what the angel of the Lord did there, how the angel of the Lord went and destroyed their enemies. Of course, they trusted in the Lord. Jehoshaphat trusted in the Lord. He said, look, we have no strength against these people, but our eyes are upon you. That's again another way that you put it to the Lord. You know, when things are over above your head, you say, Lord, well, I have no strength against this great company and this distress right now, but my eyes are upon you, Lord. The angel of the Lord in this case, he stood up and made those companies to destroy and fight themselves. And they got the victory the children of Israel did. Now, God does not save by numbers. He can save by a few. He can also save, you know, if he wants to. So that's the next portion of our lesson today, to see that, look, it's not always in numbers. You know, God doesn't need numbers. You know, some of these stories that we read, the children of Israel did not even lift a finger. God did it all by himself. So there is a story here in Jonathan when they wanted to go against the garrison of the Philistines and so forth. So here is Jonathan was going to tell his armor bearer, First Samuel chapter 14, you know, verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, was the Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So, you know, Jonathan, he also knew this secret. He said, look, we may be many, we may be few, it doesn't make the Lord any difference. You know, God can save any which way he wants. You know, and whether we are just one or two, there is no restraint to the Lord. He can save by many or by few. It doesn't make him any different. Well, actually, the Lord prefers to save by few, you know, so that people will not say that, oh, they have done it by themselves. We're going to come to that story in a minute. Judges chapter 7 is where we see an example of that. In the time of the same Gideon that we talked about briefly earlier, you know, there was a time that Gideon was assembling an army against the Midianites, you know, after the angel challenged him to go in his strength. And Gideon, the people that were with him, they were many. So let's pick up this story in Judges chapter 7. Hallelujah. From verse 1. And Gideon and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched the wall by Harod, so that the host of Midianites were on this side of the hill and they were on that side. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel should vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So we see an example here where the Lord actually did not want to use great numbers, because he didn't want the people to think that because of their great numbers is how they got the victory. See? So there are many ways that the Lord does these things. And God told them, he started to prune down the army. They started with 32,000. He pruned them down, you know, told them, you know, let them return, any one of them that's fearful and afraid. And out of them, 22,000 returned, and there remained 10,000. So we know they started out with 32,000. And out of those 10,000, the Lord said, these people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will show you how you are going to sift them. And the Lord gave him the way that he's going to do it. You know, so they went and he did it. And at the end of the day, to cut a long story short, there was only 300 men that God chose out of the 32,000 that started initially. So we see that God doesn't need a whole bunch of numbers. And with these 300, he went and they were able to destroy their armies. In fact, they destroyed them. You know, they destroyed them because the Lord was with them. So that's a story that tells us that the Lord does not need numbers. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, verses 27 to 29 will also tell us that, look, you know, it's not this, you know, what God does is not the way that we think about it sometimes, you know. So the way that God would think, we think about this, I'm trying to find the scripture. I think I meant some. Give me a second here to pull up this scripture that I'm looking for. But I'll come back to that. Let me go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You know, this is when Anna was praying. You know, and here's what she said. She said, the Lord, you know, raises up the beggars out of the dunghill, set them among the priests and so forth. You know, and he said, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He set the world upon them. And he said, for by strength shall no man prevail. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. By strength shall no man prevail. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11 says that, you know, it is not the strength. I mean, the race is not to the swift and so forth like that. The battle is not to the strong. There is the way that God brings victory. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance. So the Lord, you know, he doesn't necessarily give. It's not because we have the prowess. It's not because we have the power. It's not because we know this thing. No, it is when the angel of the Lord shows up, you know, to get God glory. And if you're on the right side of that, then the Lord will fight for you. There are many other scriptures like that. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 tells us it is not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7, glory to God. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's read verses 7 and 8 and see what the Lord has said. He said, the Lord set his love upon you. He did not choose you because you were more in number than any people. So the Lord didn't, you know, it wasn't because you were more in number. As a matter of fact, you were the fewest of all people. But the Lord loved you. You know, and because of his oath to your fathers and so forth. So the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So we see that the thing that the Lord does in bringing deliverance is not because we are many or we are strong or we are this or we are that. No, it is because of what the Lord himself wants to do. To give himself glory. All the things that he did in Egypt was to make himself a name. Glory to God. So he made himself a name. And right there and then we see that the whole world heard about the things that God did in Egypt. And they marveled because they knew that God, you know, was the one that fought for Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. He said, for God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, so God doesn't need human strength to do what he wants to do. In fact, he does the opposite. He will take things that are despised and he will use them to do great. He said, and the base things of this world and things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. So he doesn't need natural strength. He actually does the opposite. He takes things the people think are foolish, confound the wise. He takes things that are weak to confound the mighty. He takes things that are, you know, debased and despised to confound great things and bring them to naught, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, this is our admonition today. And we're going to use this for prayer. Remember also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, the Lord always gives us something to encourage us, you know, even when we think that, the odds are against us, right? He's always giving us something to encourage us. Look at what he said in Isaiah 60. You know, verse 22, the very last one. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, for I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. You know, so God can take something that is nothing, make it huge. And God can take things that, vaunt themselves up and debase them. So God will not allow us to use our strength, you know, to in the battle, because that way we will say, oh, we did it by ourselves. But God said, no, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord. And if we can recognize that, also remember the one great lesson in this place is that the captain of the Lord's host is actually different from, you know, any of those other angels. When he shows up, he's got one thing on his mind, and it is to get renown for the name of the Lord. You know, so we must align ourselves with him. He is not the one that is going to align himself with us. We need to align ourselves with him because he has his own agenda. And even though he is fighting on your behalf, he is really fighting to make known the name of the Lord. Now that's our lesson today, and we're going to go into prayers. The prayer today is, Lord, open my eyes that I may see what the Lord is doing on my behalf to get glory to his own name. There was a story that Elisha and his servant, when the king of, you know, Syria came up against him, said, look, this man that is revealing my secrets, go get him. Glory to God. So, you know, and when they came, the Lord smote them with blindness. Blindness. But before they did that, Elisha's servant said, wow. He went out and said, my goodness, the mountains, I mean, people are all around us. We are in trouble now. And the man of God prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see what's around us. And Lord opened his eye, he saw the mountains on fire, chariots of fire all around them. And those that were with them in the chariots of fire actually outnumbered the enemies that came against them. You know, so he said, but he didn't see that. The servant didn't see that initially. And sometimes we don't see that initially as well. We don't know that the Lord that is with us, you know, he has chariots of fire. Glory to God. And he has things that he can use on our behalf. You know, he that is within us is greater than he that is without. And this is the victory that we have. The victory is our faith. We know that he is with us. And God, you know, with us is greater than anything else that can be against us. You know, that Psalmist said that in Psalm 27. He said, the Lord is with me. He is my strength. You know, he's the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And this was a man that knew, you know, how to also make it God's fight. And he went up against Goliath. And everybody else said, this Goliath had come to, you know, to embarrass the armies of the living God. I mean, embarrass the armies of Israel. That's what every one of them said. But David, when he arrived, he said, no. This man has come to reproach the armies of the living God. You know, and when you put it like that, and the captain of the armies, he will stand up. And so the Lord stood up on behalf of David. He went up against that Goliath and he conquered, because he approached that fight in the spiritual, whereas everybody else approached it in the natural. So when we have whatever battles confront us, we need to approach them in the spiritual. Hallelujah. That's our lesson today. And now we are going to pray. Remember that the Lord, he is God alone. The prayer of Hezekiah is what we are going to pray this morning. It says, Lord, thou art the God that dwelleth between the cherubims. Thou art the very God, even thou alone. Of a truth, you know, they have cast the gods of those nations into the fire because they were no gods. But thou art the true God. Now let it be known, O God, even today, deliver us, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the God, the very God. Now, so that's our prayer today. Everything that we are believing God for, first, let's make sure that we are epistles read of all men. People know that we are associated with the Lord. So when you face these challenges and your back is against the wall, people will be looking and say, well, they call himself a child of God. Let his God deliver him. And then your prayer will be, Lord, let it be known that you are the living God, that saveth not by power or human might, but saveth by the angel of the Lord. So that's our prayer this morning. You know, that when we face situations, you know, our prayer should be about making it God's fight. Making it God's fight so that he can get the glory. He will deliver us, but it is about him getting the glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Let it be in our hearts to know how to face situations, to know how to bring your glory, to make it your fight, and to turn things around for you, that you may be glorified. In the name of Jesus.